Are you being tormented by diminutive supernatural beings scurrying around your house and speaking in rhyme? Well, that's no surprise because it's leprechaun swarming season. And if you don't call an expert, they'll be all over your house stealing your doubloons and zombifying your hose. So don't delay. Call Leprechaun Exterminators at 1-800-LEPNOMO. That's 1-800-LEPNOMO. Mention Horror Movie Talk to get a free four-leaf clover.
Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk.
An opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Go, 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 go.
Also review older horror movies, both good and horrible.
Wow, that didn't sound good.
A top of the morning to you, and welcome to Horror Movie Talk. Your panel of expert hosts each... I can't even go on for more than like one sentence. Like,
you can, I believe
just,
in
it
you.
It just breaks down the
I
Irish
believe in
accent.
You can do it again. I demand it.
Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and with me as always...
I'm Professor David Day. I'm the foremost expert in scare meow meows.
No theatrical releases get priority, but we also review older horror movies and both good and horrible.
You know, it's a little racist.
Yeah. So we got a 1-star review, or no, it was a 3-star review on Apple, yeah. On Apple Podcast.
It's where I'm glad you're bringing this up at the top of the episode,
where it just basically says,
"I got it right here."
Okay,
it's titled. It's from a person called Kid Satan, uh-huh. And it's titled "Good Podcast," and it has 3 stars. And if you don't know, we have very thin skin. podcast is great. The review goes, podcast is great and funny, although the humor is a bit racist and dark. It's an enjoyable podcast to play. Now, this is a good – I'm glad they brought this up because I would like to focus on this for a minute. I think they bring up a valid point. I'd like to admit something.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this about me. I'm super racist. I'm not just racist. I'm super racist. I really have a big problem with one race in particular. Mm. I hate them with all my heart. And it's actually caused a lot of negativity in my life. Sometimes you're just brought up a certain way and it just works its way into the way you are. Mm. But I'm super fucking racist against whites. I hate whites. I hate them. It bothers me every day that you're white. It bothers me that my wife is white, and it does not escape me that I am also white. But I hate myself a lot for it.
You know, I never thought of it, but I have hated myself my entire life. And is it just that I'm racist?
You're probably
myself?
Racist against whites. I mean, they're the fucking worst.
It's
look anywhere. They're dicks. They're racist to everyone. I mean,
you're painting with a real broad brush there.
It's not fair not to say they're not racist. They are, all of them. They're fucking dicks, dude. I can't believe I'm having to justify this to you right now. And in fact, I think it proves that you're, I feel like you're pretty racist for not feeling racist against whites.
Well, I only feel covert racism towards whites. None of it's overt. So none of my words or actions actually... denote
betray.
Any racism, mm. But inside I'm deeply racist against whites.
Against, I am too.
Yeah.
Man, fuck us. Dude.
Yeah, I mean, that comment. I mean, I really am curious what...
I'm glad they brought it up.
What the comments that we made that I guess tipped him off that we were racist
against whites.
It was either the Irish accents.
I constantly call Rojo from the Bronx. I call him Irish.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate the Irish, dude. And this episode.
And you are actually Irish.
I am. Yeah. I'm Irish and Scottish and English. Mm. I'm super white.
Right.
This episode is actually about an Irishman and he's the bad guy and it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. It actually conforms to all my assumptions about
whites.
About white people.
Fucking
and
dicks.
Little people.
Real dicks. And little people.
So we really want to confront the racism head on, and so we're watching a difficult film that really touches on a lot of political.
It's gonna be a rough
episode. Social norms that we really need to confront as a people.
It's going
to
be a rough episode. If y'all aren't ready, buckle up.
Yeah. Before we get into it, we just want to let you know about our website, horrormovietalk.com. There you'll find links to all of our social media, and especially our Facebook group, where our fans are really active and have a lot of great horror discussions going on there. So check that out. We have a contest going on right now called the One Titty Challenge. If you use the hashtag OneTittyHMT and you post a picture of yourself with a well-groomed teat with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 in the shot, then you enter to win a free Google Home Mini where you can listen to us.
And some stickers. More. Yeah, and that closes in 2 weeks. So get your pictures taken, get your gussy up your booby, and then get it on the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. So we post new episodes every Wednesday. If you want to call us and leave us a voicemail and discuss racial issues, call 682-253-4468.
That's right. You can call us, leave us a voicemail message, and we'll probably play it on the show.
Honestly, we'd rather you leave a voicemail if you're angry than leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Well, they weren't angry. I mean, then they brought up a good point, which is our racism.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm admittedly very racist against whites.
Okay. So we alluded to it, but this episode's really going to be
problematic.
Problematic. We're going to be talking about Leprechaun in the Hood.
This is the fifth installment of the illustrious Leprechaun series. Mm-hmm. We're starting in the middle. There is...
Which really kicked off Jennifer Aniston's career. I mean, no one knew her until Leprechaun.
That's right. This series has actually been rebooted and has a sequel to the reboot, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. So 7 was Leprechaun Origins. I don't know if that's necessarily a reboot. It might just be a sequel.
Well, I know Leprechaun Back to the Hood is the last one with Warwick Davis.
Yes, accurate. So that's the sixth one. Back to the Hood, T-H-A.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I assumed it was duh.
No.
Because I'm probably deeply racist.
No, so it's interesting. There's a spelling difference between this one and the second one. So this is Leprechaun in the Hood, and then the next film is Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh, with an A?
Leprechaun Back to the Hood with an A instead of an E.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
These little tidbits you get when you listen to Horror Movie Talk. You get to throw these little pieces of trivia around at your friends and be like, I know a thing or two.
So if you're new to Leprechaun in the Hood or Horror Movie Talk, we give a brief review and a score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge where it makes you angry, 5 being an average film that hits all the expected marks, and 10 being so good it transcends genre boundaries. After we give our score, we'll talk about spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film. And later on, we'll be checking our voicemail in a bit called Horror Movie Whores. Sorry, I should be more high energy. I was also criticized for being low energy by a listener. Let's try that again.
Okay.
If you're new to Horror Movie Talk, we start out by giving a brief review and a score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge where it makes you angry, 5 being an average film that hits all the expected marks, and 10 being so good it transcends genre. After we give our score, we'll get into spoilers, take a deeper dive into what we liked and hate about the film. Later, we'll be doing Horror Movie Whores, where we check our voicemail. Woohoo! Beer, beer, beer.
Hey, I would like to take a quick moment to thank our latest patrons. We got David M, we got Jay Deasy, and we got Anita P. Thank you guys for hopping on our Patreon. We do have a goal set to get 100 patrons. We're only about 20 or so away. And once we hit that goal, we'll be providing a Riff Tracks style, commentary to a movie that we will provide to everyone. So if you guys hop on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/horrormovietalk.
We actually have more listeners that we have to mention. It's been a while.
We got James P. So I got Rojo from the Bronx coming back.
We got Josiah T, James P, Rojo, David M, Caitlin S, Eric S,
Paulina C,
Magnus K, JDZ, Julia, and Anita P. I think we all said that.
You have that all sorted wrong, I think.
What?
I don't know.
I've got the list right here.
I do too. I'm looking at the same list. Get angry at me.
You know what? Fuck you. Whoa, David. Hey.
Okay. I know it's hard because of my white skin not to treat me nicely.
All right. So we watched Leprechaun in the Hood. Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what I expected. So here's the trailer, and it'll give you a real feel with what we're getting into here.
When Mac Daddy discovers a magic flute,
that's all I want right here.
He becomes the richest man in hip hop.
Hey, get these losers out.
But when three young rappers,
kind of like Robin Hood, then we're gonna be robbing in the hood.
Stumble onto his musical treasure. Everyone will have to pay the piper.
Unhand me gold, you thieving hoods. You got more loot than Tiger Woods.
They got the flute. We gotta get that back. Our part is over.
He's mean.
Did somebody say blow?
Voodoo shit you boys into.
He's green.
Curious aroma.
That's the bomb up there.
The bomb? The bomb.
He's down.
Does she meet with your approval?
Sit down, my healthy Billy. You're about to meet a club named Billy.
Come and let me lay hands upon your sinful creature.
What's that?
And then I'm gonna take this and wrap it around
your
ugly ass!
Warwick Davis,
Ice-T. An emerald isle to your place in the hood, and the man of green comes to do no good. You know the left is the real OG.
Got your ass!
We don't go down without a fight, right?
Right?
Right.
Leprechaun 5. Size doesn't matter when you're still the man.
I'm just a happy camper.
Here to do.
Rocking and a rolling.
Very happy about Leprechaun in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie.
You texted me and said that you had to watch it in 15-minute increments.
The goodness of it overwhelmed me each time I was
you just started crying tears of joy.
Right. It was
every 15 minutes that you were overwhelmed.
It was paced well. The acting was stellar. it was so refreshing to finally see a movie that really resonates with me and my experience.
Mm-hmm. Leprechaun in the Hood can be found streaming for free with ads, or ad-supported free, on Peacock, or rent wherever you rent movies about leprechauns.
I hate the Peacock app. I fucking hate it.
Did you figure it out this time?
I didn't. So do you know what my current circumstance is right now? I bought a copy, a digital copy.
For like $5.
Of Leprechaun in the Hood for $3.99. There is a digital copy downloaded on my phone right now of Leprechaun in the things I never thought I'd say in my entire life. I'd be like, I got, excuse me, guys. I got to make space on my phone. Let me just delete this digital copy of Lep in the Hood, and he's up to no good.
Okay, so Leprechaun in the Hood, or Lep in the Hood if you're cool, is the fifth entry in the Leprechaun series about an evil leprechaun. This time he's in the hood. The Leprechaun, played by Warwick Davis, which you might recognize as Wicket from Star Wars, is awakened inadvertently when his gold doubloons, magic flute, and necklace are stolen by three aspiring terrible rappers from a pimp-slash-music producer played by Ice-T. You should know what you're getting into when you watch a fifth sequel to a straight-to-video franchise.
Was the first one straight-to-video? Probably. I'll do some research here.
I would be surprised if it's not.
Okay.
To be honest.
All right.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But they were well into straight-to-video territory by the time this one came out. This movie is not good, per se, but it can be enjoyable. This enters the realm of so bad it's good. It's really... This is really where it gets super subjective with terrible horror movies. Like...
Yeah.
There's so many different flavors of so bad it's good that it really is up to you whether you're going to like it or not.
Right.
This one is like, doesn't get me super excited, but it was enjoyable to me. I did laugh a couple times at the choices it made and like just signs of ineptitude. In terms of direction and just super, super corny writing.
So this was released in theaters. This was released in 620 theaters.
Oh, that doesn't count.
It doesn't?
No. That,
I don't know.
I don't think that... Sure. I guess technically that's a theatrical release, but that's not like a wide release.
Okay. And then it earned about $8.5 million in the United States. Ultimately. So,
wow.
Yeah, not bad for something that I assume... That's the original Leprechaun.
Oh, that's the original.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. My apologies. Obviously, this is...
I was going to say, like, what 600 theaters are that desperate to release Leprechaun in the Hood?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Leprechaun... So, yeah, I mean, successful...
With
but, I mean, it has to... I mean, I'm sure... $7.999 million of that is from the video sales to Hollywood Video or something.
No, that's
box office.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the original Leprechaun. Again, we're not talking about the movie that we're talking about on this episode.
It made $8 million from 600 theaters.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
You
well,
understand these numbers better than I do. Apparently, this is all just. Just kind of a noise to me. I don't have any basis in.
The cheap production design, bad acting, and the aggressively corny rhyming dog. Aggressive. I can't talk. Now I'm going to go low energy. I just can't. It's just.
Got to do what you got to do, you know?
I'm sorry, Angelica. I just. I can't do it anymore. I can't keep up the facade.
That's the homie.
The cheap production design. The bad acting, and the aggressively corny rhyming dialogue. I'll make this to be a great movie to mock with friends. It's also entertainingly out of date and worth a watch this St. Patrick's Day. In my opinion, you should just know what you're getting into. So, whoa, I just like drained myself. It's crazy how just acting low energy just suddenly drained me of energy.
You poisoned the room.
Woof.
I feel dead now.
Woof. So, yeah, I mean, this... If you're surprised at how bad this movie is...
You need to rejigger your compass.
Yeah, you just don't know that much about movies.
Some people are going to be angry about your score. I'm looking at your score on the paper.
Yeah, this is like this is one of those that's really, really hard to score because it is enjoyable, but it's bad. So are you scoring on enjoyment factor or quality factor or I don't know.
I think there's
a sweet spot when it comes to bad movies of like 3 to 1. No, like 3 and 2 is kind of the sweet spot of like it's so bad that it's so entertaining how inept it is and how like that you haven't. It makes you appreciate real movies.
Bryce has a scale of 1 to 10 that you have no knowledge of and doesn't necessarily make any logical sense to you.
I'm explaining it, David. And then 1 is just like utter misery to where it's so bad that it's just bad.
Oh, nice, Ron.
Like Rats. I think Rats is the only one where we gave it a straight 1 across the
board. Yeah, Rats was very bad.
I give,
not to be confused with Bats.
I give Lep in the Hood, as the kids say, 3 out of 10.
There are no kids that say that at all. No kids are talking about this movie anymore.
Well, Warwick Davis says it. Basically a kid.
And this is just, I was talking to my brother. We had a kind of we sat around the fire. You and I and my brother mm-hmm. was there for a little while. I don't know if he was there while you were there.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. My grandma was there and Mark, friend of the show, was there and his girlfriend. And my everybody was there.
Lots of people there.
We're all sitting around a fire. And before you got there, I had a discussion with my brother about Warwick Davis and how the establishment, the foundational establishment of Carl Pilkington and Idiot and the show Idiot Abroad has so tainted my view of Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
I watched this and I just go, I just have so little respect for him because if you watch the show, An Idiot Abroad, in the third season, Warwick Davis goes with Carl to all these places and Carl's like, at that point, he's like feeling it. You know, he's like, this is fun. You know, aren't we having fun? And Warwick just can't be bothered to have any fun. And he's just the stick in the mud. And not only that, he like holds himself in high esteem. Like he'll talk about Shakespeare and all this fucking bullshit. And then I watch this and I'm like, this dude is the dude who was talking about Shakespeare on Idiot Abroad. And I'm like, you're just a. And getting offended at certain, you know, little people references, like Carl said something like midget or something like that. And he was corrected adamantly mm-hmm. by Warwick. And he's like, whoa, wait, you did like 6 movies of where you capitalized on your stature directly in the Leprechaun series. And you're going to sit here and it was called Leprechaun. Anyway, so yeah, suffice it to say, I have a funny thought process around Warwick Davis. Anyway,
I remember watching that season of Idiot Abroad, and it's such a great dynamic because Carl in the previous seasons is just miserable. That's what's entertaining is he's just miserable doing it, and Warwick is game. He's like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. You gotta look at it this way, Carl. And then what happens is
a total role reversal.
Warwick becomes miserable because these places aren't necessarily like, you know, super cognizant about, you know,
as
accessibility.
As it turns out, a pretty good place to be in the world if you're a little person is America. And a lot of other places have a lot of weird baggage around being a little person.
And so he's like miserable. And then Carl like plays off of that. Like all of a sudden he sees someone else miserable and he's like, no, this is great. And he's finding all these things to like about it. That's super entertaining. But yeah, I think about Idiot Abroad.
Strong Schadenfreude energy coming from Carl on that. I had no fun with this almost at all. There was a few points where I laughed. It was a draining, it was probably the most draining movie I've ever
really
had to watch next to Rats, which was,
oh,
I mean,
man.
just, is just,
I'm surprised.
This was, I'll give it this. This is where it scores the single point, is it was, you could follow it.
Uh-huh.
It made decent sense, not good sense.
Yeah.
It made decent sense, but there were way too many sideshows that I did not care about at all. There one sideshow that I did enjoy was pretty fun. We'll get into that in spoilers, but everything else was just, it blows me away that both Ice-T and Warwick Davis, pretty decent sized names in both film and music, not necessarily Warwick with the music thing, but are in this. I give this a 2. This is just barely scraping over one territory. This is a boring piece of shit that could have been 20 minutes.
This is one that you gotta watch with someone else. Like, I think if we watched it together, we would have had a good time. I honestly think that.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of stuff to point out and laugh at throughout. Like, on a pretty consistent basis, in my experience.
Okay.
But yeah, I agree. It's boring.
Holy,
it's not a good
shit,
movie.
Is it boring?
It's
got a bunch of stereotypes, and I do not like stereotypes.
Right.
I don't like them. And it's got a lot of them.
Except for the leprechaun. It was surprisingly accurate about white people.
Yes. Except for all the stuff about white people in this is true. Everything else, though, they made fun of Asians. I did not appreciate that. The whole thing is a little bit jarring in terms of their portrayal of people of color. So not feeling that. 2 out of 10. Boo.
All right. Well, speaking of little people, what about your little man? Is he well groomed?
Oh.
Down there?
Are you talking about my penis?
Yes.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. You want to know why?
Why?
I headed on over to manscaped.com. I entered HMT at checkout. I put one of them big fucking packages in there. They got all the Manscaped packages. Mm-hmm. You get like ball deodorizer. You get like a little refresher for your balls. You get a little bit of a trimmer. You get like a shirt. You get some underwear. You get like a mat to trim yourself up. And now I'm fucking gussied up, bruh. Down there, son, I'm looking sweet.
It's gleaming.
Looking sweet like a fucking fruit basket.
So spring break is right around the corner, so make sure to take advantage of Manscaped and ensure that the party in your pants never stops. Even Veronica Corningstone wouldn't say no to this pants party.
Uh-oh.
It's a reference to Anchorman randomly.
There you go.
You know, I don't write them. I just read them.
There you go.
So for everyone preparing for a pants party this spring break, you get a 20% off using code HMT at manscaped.com, and you get free shipping. So check that out. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with code HMT at checkout at manscaped.com. Say aloha to your new beautiful balls with Manscaped. Also, we have a great sponsor. I love this sponsor, nightchannels.com. I've bought several shirts from them. And they
it's hard not to. If you guys just give it a shot, if you head over to nightchannels.com and you just browse the site, you're going to find something that you can't walk away from. I challenge you to walk away from the shirts on this site.
Right.
You can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, they got horror, occult, black metal, like
they got
obscure
a ton of
music.
Yeah, just lots of music.
It's like a treasure trove of obscurity, really. Yeah. So, I mean, they've got, like, shirts for the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Caligari.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen that movie before. Tales from the Crypt. Necromantic. So I bought a The Witch shirt, which says, "Wouldst thou like the taste of butter?" with Black Phillip on the front.
Yeah.
And I also got a shirt with a quote from 1984 mm-hmm. of Report Thought Crime.
Do you want me to ruin that shirt for you, the witch shirt?
Sure.
Nah, I don't. Never mind. No, it's too. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I want you to enjoy the shirt. No, we'll do it later. Some other time.
And then
it's
also
specific to you. Everyone else, it's okay. I just know how you are inside your head.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
now you have to say.
No, it's too cutting.
We'll take a break so David could say. And then I also got a Talking Head shirt. So, I mean, they have a wide spectrum of shirts. So just go to nightchannels.com and just browse. That's all we ask.
That's all.
You're going to find something you want. And tell you what, instead of searching Google for nightchannels.com coupons and never actually finding anything, do you ever do that when you're, like, buying something?
No.
I always try and then never find anything. Yeah. So in this case, you have a code. It's called HMT, and you use it at checkout to get 13% off, the evilest percent.
That's right.
And, check them out, nightchannels.com. If you're listening to these commercials, you should know that you don't have to if you subscribe to a certain tier on our Patreon. We have an ads-free version that releases early, just right as we finish editing it. We released several new tiers, a lot of tiers that I would call aspirational for us. But suffice it to say, if you ever asked yourself, is there a way I can just tell them to cover this movie? We have that now.
Yeah.
Just go check it out.
Yeah, go check it out. And, there's a tier where you could get a shirt. Oh, we're going to be releasing one episode a month. That's only ever going to be available on Patreon. And there's a tier for that. I think that's the $30 tier. At some point, we're going to review every month. We're going to review one movie. And you're not going to get to hear that review unless you're on
Patreon. Yeah, we're going to have to remember to schedule that.
I have it in my brain.
Okay, so check out our Patreon at patreon.com/horrormovietalk. We also have a shop where you can just buy our t-shirts, our logo tees, which are pretty kick-ass. They're done by our resident artist, Dustin Goebel, someone you should also check out on Instagram, at dgoebel00. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram, and he takes commissions and is very affordable, so check him out. We've had several listeners that commissioned him for birthdays or Christmas, and every one of them, he just knocks out of the park.
I've been trying to convince him, or I don't know if he will say this, but I, in my own personal way, I've been talking to Dustin, trying to convince him to bump his prices up because they are criminally low. Take advantage of Dustin. He deserves mm-hmm. what he gets. You know, you will get an incredible piece of art if you talk to Dustin.
You know what he's got to do? This is a complete tangent. Mm. Found out that there was a digital art piece.
He told me about this.
That sold for $8 million.
He told me about the Banksy one that's all on cryptocurrency.
I don't think it was
Banksy. It's a crypto piece of art.
It's a crypto piece of art.
Dustin
He needs to start doing non-fungible
crypto
tokens.
Art. Yeah.
I think it's NPT. Yeah, that's what it is. Anyways, if you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 682-253-4468. Thanks again for listening. Let's get into spoilers. So let's talk about Leprechaun in the Hood. It starts off strong. It starts off in the 70s and with Ice-T in a gigantic novelty fro with another friend of his.
Yeah.
And they steal the Leprechaun's doubloons.
Yes.
And it's like comically.
Well, they're like going through like the underground of like the vast underground of L.A.
For some reason, this like pimp slash music producer, that which apparently isn't successful up to this point, just has the knowledge of where this leprechaun's treasure is, apparently.
Is that a raincoat?
Yes, it is.
And they arrive at the leprechaun's lair, and apparently the leprechaun's petrified because he's wearing a necklace that keeps him stone.
So, and then, we should mention before we get too far into this, I've never seen any of the Leprechaun movies.
I haven't either.
So, I don't know any of the lore. This is the movie kind of presupposes your...
No, I don't think you need to know anything.
You don't need to know anything, but if there is some sort of backstory surrounding the necklace and how it turns him to stone, I don't know it. But suffice it to say, he's stone. He is a little gargoyle.
Right.
Until the necklace is taken off of his neck, and then... The way it works is once you take it off, then he becomes a real leprechaun again. And then after that, when you put it back on him, he turns back to stone.
Yeah, which seems like the most important plot point of the movie, and then they just don't worry about that or mention that ever again.
The result of this is a lot of necklace flinging.
Right.
Accidental necklace misplacement in the air. And if that necklace twirls around in the air for a good beat, and you're looking at it as the audience, you know, oh shit, maybe it's going to land on the leprechaun's neck and turn him back into stone. Because, you know, I mean, you know, if you handle jewelry, it's fucking slippery, bro. And so it's constantly just in the air, way up high, uh-huh. In high places that can fall onto moderately sized human beings, you know, like it's just wacky.
Yeah, it must be nice to be a little person where it's just raining other people's jewelry all the time.
Oh yeah, rings necklaces
flinging off, like you just
you're putting your finger up in the air and then the Amblin, you know, the ET's finger comes and touches your finger, kind of like it's just all kinds of stuff happening from down below to up.
So they figure that out. There's lots of little touches that just I love, like the fact that all the gold coins are already in a pot, but since this is a movie, they have to transfer it to something else. They couldn't just pick up the pot.
Right. Yeah.
Just cover it with a cloth or something and just walk out with a giant pot of gold. And so the leprechaun wakes up briefly, kills someone with a hair pick to
yeah,
the throat.
Yeah, he takes the fro pick out of his hair. And thank God they didn't show too much of this. Most of the stabbing was committed off scene.
Right.
Because I don't know if I would have been able to handle the fro pick killing.
And then the circumstance being a random steam pipe, which is also a great movie trope, like, where are these, like, random steam pipes with, like, the release valves everywhere that you need them?
Well, the most effective and sense-making use of this is in Nightmare on Elm Street. Because only in dreams does such a room exist.
I would love there to be like a James Bond movie or some action movie where the villain is like standing over him, and then the protagonist looks over, sees a pipe with a warning sign, shoots it, and absolutely nothing comes out.
Yeah.
It's just a pipe that contains all the Ethernet cords or something like that.
that would be devastating. That'd be truly scary.
Or just hits the release valve and inside the pipe it stops the flow. Because that's what a valve would do.
Right. Yeah, no.
When you think about your water main, when you turn the release valve, does that spew water out into your house?
Yeah,
Is the point to stop the water inside the pipe?
That's the point.
Anyway, so there's a convenient steam pipe, and the necklace flings up and goes around.
Back around.
The lep's neck. And that's the other thing around this movie is that they really, really try to, you know, popularize the abbreviation of lep.
Lep.
Especially the leprechaun.
Right. Lep in the hood, and he's up to no good.
So the main plot point is not around this necklace that is probably the most important piece of jewelry. The main plot point, for some reason, is around a magic golden flute.
I just see this conversation stretching out in front of me like a vast desert wasteland of uninteresting bullshit. I can't.
Well, you just described horror movie talk.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Ouch, David.
You've just described podcasting at large.
Ew, David.
Okay, so this movie knows what it is, and you want to know why I know it knows what it is?
I see a note because, alluding to it.
Because Ice-T pulls a bat out of his fro.
Yes, a baseball bat.
After several other items were pulled out of his afro.
Not like a novelty small bat that you would buy at a stadium. Like a bat. Like a baseball bat. A full-size bat.
This is a really interesting type of movie because it knows it's bad, but it never commits quite to being like absurdist or,
well, you'd need like talented actors to commit to being absurdist
or writers like
the brain that wouldn't die,
like you think about like you know, Tales from the Hood or even like Scary Movie, where they have, I mean, it's meant to be
right
dumb,
right? Or The Brain That Wouldn't Die.
They just have those, like, scattered around because they're like, ah, fuck it. Who cares about this fucking movie? Yeah, let's pull a bat out of an afro. Yeah. Who the fuck cares?
Yes.
But then it takes itself seriously for the entire movie.
Right.
Like, it's played straight, and there's not enough, like, jokes for it to be funny.
No, it's, like I said, it's just this big, long, extended wasteland of people walking around on screen thinking, trying their best in a craft that they're just not well versed in. These people are not actors.
I mean, I will blame half of it on the material. Like, this writing is like,
no argument.
So bad. So let's talk about the, skip forward and talk about our three main characters.
Okay.
You know, your super, super generic, you know, 90s gangbanger stereotypes. You got...
Of course they have to be people of color because this is a super racist
movie. We got Postmaster P. He's all about positivity. He's like the guy that wants to get out of the hood. He's like a good guy.
This is our main protagonist.
Mm-hmm. We got Stray Bullet.
That was his name?
Yeah. You're a really stereotypical, like, wannabe gangbanger. Like, he's going to end up in the game. You know, it's they're a motley crew, but you know where Stray Bullet's going. And then the most stereotypical character in these movies, which is Butch, the guy that's all about chemicals.
The mildly overweight virgin who's all about smarts.
Specifically chemicals. Like, they make it a real point of, like, he's always mixing in, you know, solutions and, you know, he's basically
chemist.
The ghetto MacGyver.
Right. Yeah. It's weird. It's like, I don't know what to say about it because it's just like, okay.
You can't blame everything on having been pigeon-toed, David.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, really, the main character says it best.
We really fucking suck.
Okay.
That really speaks not only the rapping in the movie, but also the movie in total.
Yeah.
We really fucking suck.
I don't even think that was a line. I think that was like he yelled that before cut. He said that before cut.
And cut. God, you really suck.
Okay, here's the most entertaining part for me about this movie is like some of the betrayal of the budget. Like, there's several shots where it's like, why are they shooting it that way? And the reason is like, they didn't have any more shooting time in that day, so they couldn't get a different angle. So when we're introduced to the three main characters, do you notice this? It's like a full scene of just close-ups.
Yeah.
Like, there's no medium shots,
yeah,
or wide shots. It's like jarring that it's all just close-ups. And then another one where they were, it's a scene where later in the movie where they go visit the stereotypical Asian shop owner, Chow.
Yeah.
And they have money now, and so he's all excited. And he starts doing a dance. He's like, maybe I could dance for your music video. And they do this long, like overly long take where Chow is dancing, but it's looking at him from behind.
All right.
And seeing their reaction. There's never a shot showing him head on.
It's one big long shot. Yeah.
Yeah. There's never like a reverse shot of showing him like dancing, like you're watching him dance.
Right. If the blocking was set up correctly, it could have been a really good shot.
Right.
But the blocking was all fucked up. I mean, this is so absurd that I'm talking about the blocking on Leprechaun in the Hood.
This is why you watch these movies, because it makes you appreciate. It really tells you about filmmaking, because you're like, why is this wrong? Like, this feels so wrong. What is going on? And then you like think about it. You're like,
oh,
yeah, why would they shoot it from that angle?
Wait, there's a blockage.
And there's a blockage. Oh, my big sausage. It is. It's like a big sausage of...
Shit. Hey, Raddy. It's like a big blocking sausage of shit.
So that's probably one of my favorite things about it. It's just like kind of the ineptitude of the direction.
Yeah.
And then there's like the obvious thing that's just super corny, which is the leprechaun only speaks in rhymes.
He only speaks in limericks and rhymes. It's one of the reasons why I hate the white race.
One of the things they do.
It's unfucking bearable. And but you know, actually some of his witty banter is actually redeemable in how they get Warwick Davis to prostrate himself in front of a camera for money. Where's your dignity? Oh my God. This episode is going to get canceled.
I wanted to say, when you listen to the positivity rap, like the first rap, did you think to yourself, like, this would be a great theme song for my podcast, The Positivicast?
No. I recently released an episode of The Positivicast, a new one, where I was asking for calls to Horror Movie Talk's old voicemail number. So maybe I'll get some accidental calls into that soon, and we can restart The Positivicast.
I really think you should use that as the theme song.
Yeah. Now I'm looking for the direction I'm looking for is, instead of looking for things to be positive around the room, now I'm just looking for people to call in with stories that they're having trouble in their lives and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe good things happen to them, maybe bad things, but then maybe I could discuss, you know, how that story makes me feel.
Right.
And like try and put a positive spin on it, that kind of thing. But, in any event, yeah, the rapping in this is... There are a bunch of raps that were conceived by people who are not talented rappers necessarily. Ice-T did not sit down and critique these raps, I don't
think. There's some of them that you can tell, like, okay, someone actually wrote this and knew kind of what they were doing. Didn't put a lot of effort into it, but
yeah,
they at least had a knowledge of hip-hop. And then there was the raps that were obviously written by the white writer.
Yeah. Just the worst.
They call me Master P because I'm about positivity. I'm going to positively send you positivity. That's not far off.
Yeah.
That's not far off at all. Other great moments. Other great moments that I loved was, so there's a point at which the leprechaun rips off Ice-T's finger for his ring. And it's the best setup because, so the kind of the main plot is that these three, you know, aspiring rappers stole all the leprechaun's gold from Ice-T
right.
to get revenge.
Back in the 70s, Ice-T thwarted the leprechaun and kept him as a mantelpiece, kind
right.
of, as something to look at in his pimp office.
Right.
And now he owns a record label. It's 20 years later or so, and he owns a record label, and it's all about fucking smacking bitches and making hoes walk the knife, and, you know, X, Y, and Z, etc.
Right. So he's, so not only are they being pursued by an evil leprechaun, they're also being pursued by Ice-T. And at some point, Ice-T catches up to the three of them, takes out his gun, and is about to shoot him, and then realizes that his finger was ripped off. He's like, oh, fuck, my finger!
Oh, my... I was wondering what happened there, and now it makes sense.
Which is great. That's just a great... That's a great bit. Like, that... I'll give Leprechaun in the Hood its due.
But it's played dead serious.
Like, I know. That's
like,
what makes it great.
Not even tongue-in-cheek.
That's why it's great. Oh, shit, my finger!
Oh, my trigger finger's gone. I forgot about that.
That's
very
almost
recent, fresh wound.
That's almost exactly how Ice-T would say it, too. okay. So they're kind of running away from both the leprechaun and Ice-T. They find different places to hide out, which are... Some of them are fun. Some of them are like, wow, this would not fly today. So, I mean, the obvious one is they go stay at this trans guy's apartment, and he is like beefy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is actually one of the things that I found good about this movie. I of course support BLM wholeheartedly, and one of the mainstays of BLM is black trans lives matter. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this was intentional or like prophetic. But I did like this character a lot. This may be my favorite character in the whole movie.
Right.
I like the way he or she, I guess she, portrayed right. her sexuality mm-hmm. a lot.
Right.
She owned her sexuality. And
I mean, it was ahead of its time. I mean, as accurate as the character of the leprechaun is for portraying white people... Mm-hmm. This trans character is as accurate portraying just what trans people are about, which apparently is fucking.
I don't think that's a fair, I mean, that, I don't know, maybe that didn't age so well, you know, because that's, I think there's, I don't, it's possibly problematic. I just appreciate that they were represented, they're very rarely represented in film. I think it may be generous to call this a film, though.
And then they go to a church. That's kind of a side. There's probably one too many, like, different hiding places. And they never really seem that in danger. Uh-huh. And then randomly the leprechaun will show up in a super corny way. And then they'll just run away.
Well, it's because he keeps blowing on that damn pipe. It's like a goddamn dog whistle for leprechauns.
Well, yeah. He's got the magic pipe, and they very, 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 very slowly realize that it can be controlled to control people.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, everybody kind of goes into a trance whenever I blow
for the past hour, whenever I blow this pipe, everyone just looks at me and like a zombie.
Huh. Well, anyway.
That's strange. What are you guys looking at? I was just playing this pipe.
That doesn't make any sound either. It's just a silent dog whistle.
And then the last kind of non sequitur bit is the leprechaun randomly has a bunch of zombie hoes.
I didn't like how... we're skipping over the part where Lep really brutally murdered this trans woman in a fit of sexual passion.
Yeah, that happened.
It just made me uncomfortable. I was legitimately upset.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I mean, I did. I don't know. His legs were up around his head. He was like folded in half and really seeming to enjoy himself. But really, he was, or she wasn't enjoying herself at all.
Right.
I did not mean to. It's okay. It's just okay. I'm back. I'm in the right headspace. Okay.
Well, you're talking about the leprechaun, and you just got it mixed up.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. It's exasperating.
I don't know. I mean, do we know if the leprechaun's male? Could be non-binary, you know?
That's a good point. This is problematic overall.
No, he seemed heteronormative because he was really getting into the zombie hose.
Yeah, he... Oh, yeah, dude. Those zombie hoes were crazy, right? They were so creepy because they were essentially just... Like, actually, they presented as just regular women completely.
But they had green eyes.
But then their eyes would glow a little bit to insinuate zombification. But, you know, as a man... As a man who appreciates hoes, I can say that I was not made uncomfortable by the hoes in this movie.
Eventually, like, the leprechaun kind of wins in the third act.
It's a big toss-up. It's a twist ending.
And he kind of sets up shop in the hood. This is also another thing where I'm kind of amused by.
Uh-huh.
Because you have this character that's basically, like, a pointless killer. And then they put him in a situation where he wins, and then what do? Like, does he go back to his leprechaun hole?
No, you make a music video.
No, he he sets up shop, he gets a club, brings in all his zombie hoes,
get some purple drink.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
He's a lep in the hood. So
makes a music video.
And then they, you know, eventually they try to kill him, but the leprechaun wins. I mean, that was the one thing that says about this movie was different from all the previous Leprechaun movies, is that all the previous Leprechaun movies, the leprechaun dies in the end.
At least loses.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And this one, he wins, and he has a great rap at the end of it.
Yeah, that is, this is truly the gold at the end of the rainbow, is this leprechaun rap.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing that took place at the end was impressive.
Right. We haven't even touched on, like, the accent. Like, Warwick Davis, he wasn't really doing an Irish accent. He was doing, like, an Irish lilt. It was very much like a character voice.
Okay.
And it fits. It's a good choice, I think.
It is a good choice, I guess. I don't know.
All right, we can move on.
I'm running out of steam.
That's Leprechaun in the Hood. I think it's kind of this is the best that a straight-to-video horror movie can be. Like, you got to set your expectations. If there's a straight-to-video horror movie that you think is better, chances are it was meant to be a theatrical release, and then they just decided not to. Like... There's probably more enjoyable movies, but this is kind of like the highest quality that I would expect from a straight-to-video horror movie.
It feels problematic to me in a lot of different ways. I'm so curious. Okay, if there is anyone out there, and I'm sure there are, because I asked a question on our Facebook group yesterday in a fit of anger... that was something along the lines of, it was like, boy, how did I phrase it exactly? I said, which leprechaun movie do you hate the most? let me find it here. Okay, here it is. How much do you hate the leprechaun movies? Which is the worst, Leprechaun or Leprechaun 2 or Leprechaun 3? 4, which is Leprechaun in Space. 5, In the Hood, this movie. 6, Back to the Hood. 7, which is Origins. And 8, which is Returns. And a lot of people said that 1 through 3 was actually pretty good. Some people...
I watched the opening of Leprechaun, the first one, and the quality was much higher. Like, they put more effort into it, definitely.
Tino G makes a very strong opinionated stand on our Facebook group and says they are all good. I'm not throwing shade. I think Tino G is probably a very intelligent, very well-mannered person. I just question their taste in the Leprechaun series.
I wonder if there's like a subculture that we're going to discover that we've tipped off, like the Halloween fans, people that are Halloween fans and are just super offended that we don't give it a perfect 5 or perfect 10 out of 10.
Yeah, they say we hate it, and I don't think we've ever given a Halloween anything less. Oh well, Halloween 3 we were not yeah. kind to.
Oh yeah, that was the one we got most vitriol from that person on Instagram.
Yeah. What's her name?
I can't remember. Anyways,
yeah, she was
what
nuts.
If there's like this secret, you know, cabal of Leprechaun fans?
Ooh.
And we're just pissing them off by giving it less than a 10.
Oh, I'm scared.
Could have unleashed.
They could be running around our house, skittering around. Like, well. Yeah, Ian W. in that post says, Leprechaun 1 was good. 2 and 3 was maybe okay. After that, I only watched Leprechaun in the Hood because I like iced tea. That's
right.
That's the only reason you should watch Leprechaun in the Hood.
I think also the context of this movie, you have to remember that, like, it was probably out of date and in poor taste, even in the time, because it's 2000, and this is, like, 5 years after Tales from the Hood, or, like...
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I mean, it's been so long, I don't remember almost any of it. I don't remember it being, like, being super into it at
Tales
the time.
Tales from the Hood.
Tales from the Hood.
Yeah.
And, but... I do remember that it kind of had at least some social commentary. Like, it did have some effort in it to, like, be interesting.
Yeah.
And this one is just straight up, like, almost blackface.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. John A. says, Origins, which I think is the 2014 one, is the worst. I wasn't counting the newer ones. The newest film was decent. He's no Warwick, but he made his own Hornswoggle. Yeah.
What is Hornswoggle?
I don't know. Kobe M on there says anything with Warwick Davis is at least watchable. Trashy but fun. They get worse as you go along, of course. All are better than the dumpster fire that is Midsummer. Hot takes. Hot fucking takes from Kobe M. All of the Leprechaun movies are better than Midsummer.
Well, different strokes for different folks.
You got that right.
That's also something that the Leprechaun would say. So final recommendations. I'd say this is a good movie to watch on St. Patrick's Day with friends.
There's
like,
a lot
I honestly think if you got drunk and sat around to watch a shitty movie on St. Patrick's Day, like this is a great choice.
There is, due to the overt racism in this movie, there's a lot of copious marijuana use in this movie. And frankly, it can't make the movie any worse if you get really high
right.
and watch this movie, because there's a few exchanges between Lep and Ice-T that are like... pretty good,
mm-hmm.
you know. You could be like, hey, you know, what you could do is you could find the timestamp where Lep and Ice-T toke up together, and you could set that to go off at 420, and right at that moment when they take the hit at 420 in your house, you take the hit with them. You know, that's something a stoner would do.
Right. Yeah, you gotta be careful, though. I mean, it could freak you out if you get into the paranoid... You might sound like...
I'm the leprechaun. Garth, I'm the leprechaun.
Cool it, okay?
Cool it, okay?
Realize I haven't played that at all.
I'm the leprechaun. Garth, I'm the leprechaun.
Cool it, okay?
Of course, Garth is terrified of leprechauns.
So...
Man, astronomically better movie than this.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a good movie, but if you want to watch a bad movie with friends on St. Patrick's Day, like, I think it's worth your time, especially since it's free, something you can put on the background on a Peacock. Anyways, what do you think, David?
Well, I bought and own the movie for all of eternity, so it's actually, there's your opinion on that.
That's the best endorsement you can give it. Ugh. All right, let's get into our next bit, horror movie whores.
Whores.
Horror movie whores is where we check our voicemail. It's been a couple weeks. We recorded 2 weeks in a row last time we recorded, so we got a little bit of a blockage. Here we go. This is from Old Jones.
What? Hey, assholes.
This is old T-Butt Jones, or whatever the fuck you called me, from Ohio. Just wanted to let you know that I ordered my Manscaped with code HMT, and it is on the way. I am going to show you at least one of my fat fucking tits. Goodbye. I love you.
Love you too, Tebow Pickens. From Ohio. Wow. Yeah, no. We appreciate you guys supporting our sponsors, because it's cool that we've reached a point where people will advertise on the show, and we really like to keep that going. So we still, most of our support comes from patrons and from
viewers like you.
Yeah. And from people using that Amazon link. Don't sleep on the Amazon link. People use it, and it puts real money in our pocket. So, you know,
and to give you a sense of, like, we're putting it all back into the podcast. It's not like we're putting in anything into our pocket. We're still, like, in the hole in terms of personal investment. We just bought a bunch of video equipment. So,
yes, this is big news.
Be prepared in the future. There will be, you'll be able to see our, I mean, we've really been hiding one of our greatest assets. I mean, yes, our voice and personality is one thing, but really what's going to unlock the next level for Horror Movie Talk is our sex appeal.
And our...
just our... our just... you know...
I have a little bit of a problem showing my white skin on camera. Okay. I gotta be honest. I have a lot of shame issues.
Here's another one from Bugsy.
Hey, it's your boy Bugsy. Anal Man. From Tampa. Tampa Bay. Prostate Bay. Anywho... just got done listening to the Butt Boy review, and I can't tell if you guys are being serious or joking. Like, I don't even want to Google and try to watch it. Like, it seems like one of those things where you did bats instead of rats. Like, there's no way Butt Boy is actually a movie about a guy shoving shit up his ass, and if he eats hot sauce, he's going to explode. I mean, that sounds like something you might find on Hardwood.com or Pornhub under the gay section. But it's an awesome review to wake up to, because last night, I had a girl come over, I met on Tinder, came over at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was, you know, I started banging her, and I slipped a finger in her ass, and she liked it. And then one thing led to another, and I was butt-fucking her, so I'm a butt boy. It's amazing when you can actually go back and forth between the two holes. You know, a lot of girls don't like anal, and it's like, the girls that do, they really don't mind it. So I'm like, my question is, are these girls lying? Does it really hurt as bad as they say? It does, or
only
they just
one
don't
way
like
to find out.
Touching. It's not fair. I want to live in a world where I can put it in any hole I want, any orifices I want.
That's called rape.
Anyways, enough about my sexual escapades, if that's the word for it. This is a horror movie podcast. I get that. But anywho, much love, B&D. Of course y'all liked the movie that was about shoving shit up your ass. You know, I guess you gave it an 8. You know, that's 1 point per inch. So, good. Well, anyways, it's your boy Bugsy, a.k.a. Florida Man. Much love, HMT, and all my butt men out there. I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Well, yeah. I mean, how did he get on to, like, the 1 point per inch? Like, we usually keep that pretty close to the vest.
Yeah.
Combined 8 inches.
I'm ashamed.
So, this is our brand now?
Yeah. After, I was just thinking this. I was like...
after opening up the voicemails, this is basically 90% of our voicemails.
I love our audience. Women, I love that they're this depraved.
Yes.
I don't know how many people Bugsy speaks for, but if stats are to be believed, he represents hundreds, maybe thousands of people.
I mean, there's Bugsy, there's Rojo, there's Glittercore. Everyone calling in and telling us about their sexual exploits.
It's like, not even horror movie related anymore, right. Really. It's just like, I was butt-fucking this girl, and it's like, okay.
That should be like, yeah, that should be just our voicemail from now on. It's like, okay, so anyway, so I was butt-fucking this girl, like.
And here we go with Horror Movie Talk Whores. It's just wet squish sounds the whole way through.
So, yeah. Here's another one from Elizabeth. I'm sure she's going to be talking about butt fucking.
Hey, guys. It's Elizabeth. Normally, I call you guys because you guys are awesome, but it's 8:30 on a Wednesday, and you guys still haven't uploaded your podcast episodes. Like, what the F, you know? 8:30 on the East Coast, and now I have to sit here and listen to Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande and waste time at work because there's no podcast, and I'm very disappointed. So, yeah, what the F. So, get on that. Okay,
yeah,
bye.
I apologize about that. Every once in a while, there's some kind of glitch when it's, like, publishing the podcast episode, and we don't find out about it until we wake up, which is, you know, well into the morning for East Coast listeners. But yeah, we get it up, and then it takes like several hours to like
propagate across.
Yeah.
And usually your fallback for that would be the YouTube channel.
Right.
If you're not familiar, like he said, we're going to start being on video. We're going to start being video boys.
There's a lot of redundancy across our uploads. So,
That day, there was no video published either. So it was a kind of a...
Well, it was published.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It was
a little later, but...
Oh, that's right. You had it scheduled for... It makes sense to release a YouTube video a little bit later in the day, but...
Yeah, so it... We apologize.
Yeah.
It just happens. It's happened like what? Six times
in
the last 2 years.
A couple times.
It is real. There's no one that hates it more than us.
Oh, trust. Me. Yeah, that's every Wednesday I wake up with a minor sense of dread.
Hey guys, it's Angelica. You don't have to share this. It's just for you guys.
I'm sharing
just some helpful feedback or just kind of, you know, where I'm at. What the fuck, guys? Bryce, you're always on your board at the beginning of podcasts. What the heck? Pick yourself up a little. And David, come on. We know you get a little stony baloney. But, yeah, you guys are awesome. You guys still make me laugh. But, yeah, I'm going to go now because that was a little harsh. Bye.
Bye. That wasn't harsh. I think that was very justified criticism. People don't care that I'm stony, and people care that Bryce is low energy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, it's just, it needed to be said. I'm glad Angelica had the balls to say it. And, you know, I mean, it's just, look, I'm always down to hear criticism.
Yeah. No, it was good to hear. Like, yes, I've been low energy in the intro section sometimes.
You gotta get that.
Especially when it's David's episode and I just like let him go on autopilot for the intro. Cause I'm like, all right, let's just get through all this stuff until we can talk about the movie.
I feel like I'm too overbearing with my excitement sometimes. Like I just.
Yeah. I'm impressed sometimes of like, wow, he's really excited to talk about
just
some bullshit.
I feel like a tornado siren sometimes.
But this is like kind of. This is a skill that I need to build up because you look at like YouTube celebrities, it's 110% energy matter what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, okay, everybody, whoa, hit that bell, subscribe, and okay, we're going to get into this Minecraft. Like,
you're giving me a headache.
Like, it.
You know what people are going to see when we go on video? But you guys should head over to our YouTube page and subscribe for when this actually drops because we know a lot of you aren't subscribed to our YouTube channel, but soon it's going to be a thing where you get to see our faces and exactly how ugly and upset we look all the time.
Yeah.
And
and just the raw sexuality. It's going to be – see, I'm not going to say it's not a insignificant – part of my brain that thinks about video and I'm like, I am not someone you want to see on video.
God, that is so raw and harsh.
I think I'm like, oh wow, that's gonna be like opening up to whole new realms of like internet comments that I just have to steel myself against. But also like I'm in my late 30s and I still have like real bad acne, which is disturbing to me. Like it's
weird because it wasn't here a couple of years ago.
No, I have an appointment with a dermatologist. It's annoying. I don't know what's going on. I think it's my mom has rosacea. So it's a bit of,
we may just have to turn off the comments. I'm serious. You cannot handle it. I don't think you can handle it. You can't read that shit. You cannot. And you're not even close to Joe Rogan levels of fame.
It's not. There's nothing that anyone can say that I don't say to myself.
But they will.
It's just confirmation.
Well, but they will, and it'll echo real loud.
Yeah. Well, anyways, my wife made a good point of like, you know, are you guys going to do makeup for the video podcast?
I kind of was.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, I definitely thought about it because I'm like, this red splotchiness does not look great on video.
We're gonna even have just that 4K, baby.
Even in that. No, it's only going to be 1080.
Yeah, we made sure of that.
So we'll see. Oh, also, Aaron said, like, maybe we could ask her sister to come over and teach us about makeup. Maybe that could be our first bit.
Okay.
Just teach us how to put on makeup.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like a special effects in horror movies is makeup.
Right.
You know, so it's an important part.
So anyways, yeah.
Here's a call. Next call is from Elizabeth.
Hey, it's Elizabeth calling again. Just gotta love my voice. I'm sure you're tired of hearing it by now.
No.
Just so we're clear, if we're calling in and voting for people, as a female myself, 100% back Glittercore. Her song was 10,000 times cooler.
Okay, so right now what she's talking about is there was a feud between Rojo from the Bronx.
There's an epic rap battle happening.
Max Allen and Glittercore. And on our Facebook group, we said, who do you side with? I'm glad that Rojo is not on Facebook because I'm not going to lie. I liked his rap the most, but other people did not seem to. They supported, maybe it's because he's kind of the heel in this scenario. He's kind of cooler than everybody else.
That's not what a heel means.
No, but I'm just trying to think of, I'm just throwing out possibility. Maybe it's right. He's a heel, right. He's cool. Maybe people perceive him as being like, oh, this guy gets pussy all the time. He doesn't need me. Like, you know, but, you know, Glittercore and Max pulled away handily. I think, I don't know who won exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think Glittercore might have one in the wings, too. Like, she's kind of waiting for a response from Rojo.
Mm-hmm,
so I don't know if that's coming or not. But.
So Elizabeth is discussing the fact that she thinks Glittercore had the most impressive rap. And by the way, if you want to come up with – if you want to start beef on our show, do it. So here's Elizabeth, the continuation of her call.
And it was only like two lines. And yeah, it might be a kind of spinoff on the already existing Freddy Krueger – one, but I don't even care. It was way cooler. Sorry, the other two guys, but Glittercore, 10 out of 10. Super cool. Can't wait for her to make a song. So, yeah, fuck the other two guys. Sorry. Bye.
They would probably enjoy that, actually.
Ladies supporting ladies.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, dude.
That's what horror movie talks about.
You gotta separate people by their sex and then judge them according to which one is more. That's really important. And fuck white people.
All right.
No, I'm just saying I hate them. So here's our next call. I don't know who this is.
Come sit your ass on my face, girl. Come sit your ass on my face, girl. I want you to shake it, shake it, shake it, but don't break my nose, bitch. Shake it, but don't. Break my nose, bitch. Come sit your ass on my face, girl. Come sit that big old booty on me, please, yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Oh. I didn't know. It's just our voicemail line's just a dumpster.
Yeah.
That people throw shit into. Thanks, Rojo.
Last one. This one's from Max. Let's see if there's a, you know, discussion of our beef, of his beef.
Hey, guys, this is Max. I was talking to David about my music, and he said that I should call in and leave a voicemail about it. So I normally wouldn't want to go promoting my own stuff on the Horror Movie Talk show, but I figured since he said I should, I would just call and say that my band, Sinking Season, has just dropped a new album. The album's called What Falling Feels Like. There's 13 songs on it, and I'm super excited about it. Would be pumped if any of you went and listened to it, because it took a long time to do, and I'm really excited about the songs on there. Other than that, I'm loving the show, David and Bryce. It's doing awesome, and every episode is hilarious, so keep it up. Thanks, bye.
So thanks, Max. Yeah, go check out his band. Max, if you don't know, did the intro for Horror Movie Talk, and so you listen to that every time you listen to it.
Yeah, and he's created a couple intros for us, and he's been very generous with his time. And, you know, Bugsy has as well. He's the Bugsy Siegel has created the outro song for us, so you guys should check them out.
So we'll send you an invoice, Max, for the ad exposure. Yeah. But yeah, thanks.
We appreciate you, buddy. And to everyone listening, we appreciate you.
Yes. So, honestly, join the Facebook group, Horror Movie Talk Facebook group. You're going to like it there. Other fans that listen to the show and just horror movie fans. And it's fun when people join it that don't know that it's associated with a podcast. And we're talking about something on the show, like sitting on a girl's face or whether farting cum onto your bed sheets is considered a what was it called?
A squirting. Yeah, a squirting.
Posted that question of like, because glitter. Okay, so the context is Glittercore called up and said like, does this count as squirting? Is if you the cum dribbles down, you fart it onto the bed sheet,
right?
And then so I think the consensus was no. But if not, what should we call that? Mm-hmm. And I posted that to the Facebook group. And there were several people.
Irate.
I'm not going to say which gender or anything.
That's good.
That kind of were like, what the fuck is this about? What does it have to do with horror movies? I'm like, what doesn't it have to do with horror movies?
Yeah, this is about a podcast. This is not about horror movies. This is very important stuff.
So check out the Horror Movie Talk group on Facebook and our website, horrormovietalk.com. You'll find links to everything else.
Just a quick reminder, every second Saturday, we do watch a horror movie with our community. So that happens to be today. So if you're listening to this episode, you just missed it. And this is another reason to join that Facebook group is the events are created on there and you can RSVP to them on there. So I think tonight we're going to be watching The Hole in the Ground. So on Amazon. So we're having a watch party and you can chat it up with other Horror Movie Talk fans and us. So
special thanks to all our patrons that support us and our sponsors. Again, check out nightchannels.com and buy some stuff off of manscaped.com to shave your junk. If you want to leave us a voicemail and talk about butt sex or listener beefs, call 682-253-4468. You know, or you could talk about horror movies. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a novelty.
You could talk about an episode or something that we say. Or you could make a song about sitting on a girl's face.
Anything's possible.
Right. Yeah. Love you guys. See you later. Bye-bye.
Looking for a podcast full of burps and gas, perverted cast, skinny and fat? Look no further. Horror Movie Talk is accidentally funny, begs to donate money, fake sponsors for dummies, and so much more. New episodes every hump day. They'll pickle your dickle. For foreplay, Patreon members have it your way. Vote for a movie every month for the review. Chopper, chopper, don't just stare at it, eat it like a taco. Put your tongue through the phone, hoodie Picasso. Look at them hot kids swearing, not a pedo. Got me too'd with Cosby eating Jello. Pudding Pop done gave Bryce flatulence. Train addict, Dave doesn't give a shit. 1 through 10, is it horrible or excellent? Oil me up, daddy, is dinner rough? Pretentious, Bryce Hansen. Look at them hot kids, Chris Henson. Masturbate with a crucifix, exorcist. Face huggers, chest bursters, alien. Linda Blair peed on Sigourney Weaver. I know it's true, cause it came from social media. Patrick Bateman can't understand you. Stab you to death for Rotten Apple reviews. Opinionated podcaster with a doctorate. Spookology, doctor of philosophy. Bad gastritis, knee colostomy. Turn Patreons into human centipedes. David Doobie Day, scare him, no expert. And global fucks hard, professional sexpert. Afterpod taglines and porno flicks. America's Psycho, them guys pretty sick.
Chopper, chopper. Don't just stare at it, eat it like a taco. Put your tongue through the phone, hoodie Picasso. Look at them hot kids swearing not a pedo. Got me too'd with Cosby eating jello. Putting pops done, gave Bryce flatulence. Train addict, addict Dave doesn't give a shit. 1 through 10, is it horrible or excellent? Oil me up, daddy, is dinner rubs. Nothing good happens in the woods. Always get more than you bargain for. Got a pickle to dickle, machines tickle bitties.
Killer on the phone, ain't no Sharon Stone.
Vancouver, Portland, Oregon and organs. Corona, COVID, curse, Lerona. Green River killer, because reasons. Hallway of poop monster, kids screaming. Ain't your ordinary dingleberry itinerary. 30 days shutter and jump scares, ain't fucking scary. Time for the spoilers with jokes and tropes. Use their white socks to catch their loads. To show them one titty, pretty. Paganism you should worship, they Teflon dicks. Pacific Northwest, let them see one breast. Shifty ass, stay spooky, poor man's digress.
Bugsy, HMT, horror movie talk. Hold on, they don't like Halloween. Fuck them.
I'm the leprechaun.
Garth, I'm the leprechaun.
Cool it, okay.